Okay. So again, let's start over. Omer Abba, sorry. Omer Rav, make a lot of called Gufi Batar. Rav says a man is allowed to shave all the hair on his body with a razor, and he's not over on Lo Yulbash by doing that. So the Gemara says, Mase, we have a contradiction. And Braiza says, Amaba Besa Shechi or Besa Erva, if a man removes the hair in his armpits or in the area of his erva, Hareza Loika, then he gets Malchus. So it's also, and actually also Daraisa. So what are you telling me, Rav, that it's Mutter? And the answer is, Habitar, Habimisparayim, there's a difference between using a razor versus scissors. Rav is saying that it's Mutter if you're using scissors, because that's not normally what women use for that. So therefore, it would be Mutter for a man. On the other hand, when it comes to a razor, since that's usual for women to use, then Rav would agree that that is Osir. Now actually, there are different Gersois over here. And in fact, many of the poskim have a girsa that not tar versus misparayim, but rather ki ka'omer rav b'sharei varim. Rav is talking about the other limbs of the body, meaning, in other words, that when Rav says you're allowed to use a tar, it would mean you're allowed to, for example, use a tar to shave your arms or your legs or whatever, but not the beis hashechi and the beis ha'erva. Those you wouldn't be able to at all. According to that girsa, which many of the Rishonim have, according to the girsa that we have in front of us, Rav is saying that the rest of the body, there's really no restrictions on, you could even use a tire, and when it comes to the beis hashechi and the beis ha'erva, then those you can't use a razor, but you can use scissors. According to the, and there are Rishonim who learn that way, but many of the Rishonim have a girsa that Rav would say only b'sharei varim, only when it comes to other parts of the body, are you even allowed to remove the hair at all. When it comes to beis hashechi or beis ha'erva, according to that, you wouldn't even be able to at all, not even with scissors. Obviously, we're not talking about, for example, if a person, let's say, has a rash or something in that area and they need a shave because of that, we're not talking about that. We're talking about where a person is stam doing it in order to look well-groomed. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, so first of all, actually, now there's a tshuva from Rav Shura Gaon who says that it does actually depend on the local on the local practices. Rav Shura says that since, after all, nowadays Jews live in many different parts of the world and in different places, people have different ideas about personal grooming, and then so it's not necessarily, for example, this idea of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva is unique. For example, he says that the Chachamim and the Yeshivas of Babel, he says, for a couple hundred years now, have been removing Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva because, he says, in where they live, it's common not only for women to do that, but also for men. So therefore, it's not Lo Yovash Gever anymore, and therefore, men would be able to do it as well. On the other hand, the Rashba disagrees with that, and then the Rashba disagrees with that and says even then it would still be considered Simlas Isha. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that we're going to go on to learn in the Gemara that we're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, and we're going to discuss it may actually be also at least Drabbanan. So in Shulchan Aruch, it summarizes that if a person removes the hair of the armpits or the beis ha'erva, even with scissors, as the Gemara is going to say, ke'ein tar, similar to a razor, in other words, cut closely to the skin, then he'd be chayev makas maudah, so it'd be also derabanan. But in places where men commonly do it as well, then fine, we can at least rely on Rav Shura Gaon and say that he wouldn't be chayev makas maudah. And actually, the Ran says then it would be actually be even mutu even lachtchila, except as we'll see in the Gemara, chaverim, meaning to merachachamim, will still avoid that. As far as the rest of the body, you're allowed to use misparayim. You're allowed to use scissors. That's the final halacha as it emerges from this sugya. But to start with, right now we're saying that according to Rav, Rav had started to say that you could use a tar even on the whole body, even on beis hashechi or beis ha'erva. Now we have though a braisa that says that not, but it's also daraisa. And the answer is the braisa is talking about using a razor. Rav is talking about using scissors, which Rav would say is mutter. So the question is, well, Rav nami b'tar farmer, didn't Rav himself use the expression with a tar? And the answer is fine. He meant ke'ein tar. He meant when you use scissors like a razor. In other words, you cut closely to the skin. But since you're using the scissors, then it would be similar to what we talked about yesterday, for example, with the beard, where technically a person is chayev for cutting his beard, only if he does diluach shigesh by hashkasa, only if he uses a razor and cuts all the way down to the skin. The same way over here, Rav would say that even with Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, it's only going to be osur if he uses a razor, not if he uses scissors and cuts close to the skin like a razor. Again, according to the other Girsa, which many of the Rishonim have, then all the posts can bring it. In fact, then even Rav would only be saying Sharei Barim, the other parts of the body, you're allowed to shave, but he would be still leaving out Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva altogether, unless, like the Pshuta Goyin says, maybe it depends on the local one, on the local practices. Okay, so that was Rav. Now, Omer Rabbi Ba'Aba, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, on the other hand, Rabbi Ba'Aba tells us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Hamav Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Loike, that if a person, he says the opposite, if a man removes that hair from Beis HaShechi or Beis HaErva Loike, he will get malchus. So the Gemara says, Nasi, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says, Havora Seir, Eina Medivra Torah, Ela Medivra Seifrim. The removal of hair from the body is not osim in a Torah, it's only osim in a Rabbanan. So what is Rabbi Yechanan telling us? That he gets malchus, which implies that it's also daraisa. Now, of course, the easy answer would be, so what? We have the previous braisa that we brought against Rav that said hareza loike. So what's the problem? Rabbi Yechanan could be holding like that braisa. And the answer is but still, the Gemara would rather not have to create a machlokus between the braisas unnecessarily. And therefore, let's see if we can find a way to for that braisa, and then we'll have to if that means reinterpreting Rabbi Yechanan as well, then we'll do that. And the answer is my loike nami dekamam dirabanan. You could answer when Rabbi Yechanan says that he gets malchus, he doesn't mean daraisa, and when the braisa says loike also doesn't necessarily mean daraisa, means midirabanan. The first braisa, that is, it means midirabanan. In other words, so exactly that, he would get matas margus for being over on a din derabanan, but not malchus daraisa. Okay, the Gemara continues. Ikadambi, some say a different version. Amar Rabbi Ba'Aba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hamav Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Loike, and here he spells it out. Mishum lo yubash gever simlas isha. In the second version, he's spelling out that if a person removes the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, so in the first version we just said Loike, that he gets malchus. But now, in the second version, Rabbi Yechanan is adding, Mishum lo yubash gever simlas isha, because he's being over on the mitzvah that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing. So again, now the problem is, in the first version, at least you could say that he means, fine, when he says loike, he means only midrabanan. But now, when he's actually quoting and saying that he's over on lo yubash gever simlas isha, then that implies that it's actually also daraisa. Well then, Nesvi, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa said, the Braisa we just quoted says, Havas Seir, Eina Medivre Torah, Ela Medivre Seifrim. It's not Osim in a Torah, it's only Osim in a Rabbanan. And yet, so again, in the first version, we could infer and say that he means Makas Margus. But now in the second version, when he says, Mishum Lo Yubash Gever Simla Sisha, that implies that we're talking about an Isur Daraisa. So what is it? So would that mean that we'd have to say that the two braises are arguing with each other and Rabbi Yechanan is going only like one of them? So the answer is, in fact, yeah, we're going to have to say that. Hu de'amaki haitam. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Yechanan is holding like the Tana of the following braise. Now, we could say, Tosfos says, we already have a braise that says that loike. And we don't have to say that loike means makas maudus. However, since Rabbi Yechanan brought the pasuk, the Gemara, Tosfos says, the Gemara would like to find a braisa that also mentions the same pasuk, so that way we don't have a way of deflecting it and say that maybe we're only talking to Rabbanan. And the braisa, in fact, another braisa says, the Tanya, Hamav beis HaShechi beis HaErva, hareza oven v'shum lo yubash geva simas isha. So therefore, so Rabbi Yechanan is holding like that opinion. Well then, the Gemara asks the Tana Kama. Well then, what about the previous Braisa? What about the Tana of the previous Braisa, where he did not mention the pasuk, which allowed us to say that it means Drabbanan? So Hailo Yovash Geva my Darishbe, what is he darshining from this pasuk? If he holds that removing the hair from the armpits or from the base of erva is only also drabbanon, and then because of that he's not doing the pasuk, then what does he hold is included in Lo Yovash Geva Simasisha. Now, I mean, obviously you can answer, well, it means exactly that. You're not allowed to put on a dress or something, but the bright, we're going to quote a brisa now that shows that it means more than that. So the answer is, so Vatanakama, Haila, Yobash Geva, my Dorish Bey, what is he going to darshan from those words, from that word, La Yobash Geva Simasisha? So the answer is Miborilah Chedatanya. He will use it, that the Tana of the Udiyah Braisa will use it to teach us what it says in another Braisa. When it says, Lo Yiyakli Gever Al Isha Ma Tamad Loimer, what are we learning from those words? Lo Yobash Gever Simas Isha? Now, usually the word Ma Tamad Loimer would mean that these words are extra. Here, we're not meaning so much the words are extra, but what exactly, what practice is it exactly that the Torah is asking to us? So my time of life. Does it just mean that exactly that, that a man is not allowed to put on a woman's dress or a woman is not allowed to put on man's clothing? The problem with that is that the pasuk continues. The pasuk continues that it's disgusting to Hashem. The pasuk says, after it mentions the Jewish Surim, Ki soyavas Hashem alakecha fal oseela, anyone who does these things is disgusting to Hashem. The problem is, so to Eva he implies that there implies that it's going to lead to Znus. It's going to lead to Znus, the Rosh says, or the Mefarish says, or at least it'll lead to Yichud. On the face of it, ain kan te'eva. The problem is that it's not necessarily that it's not necessarily leading to te'eva just wearing these clothing. So then the pasuk should say it would lead to te'eva or something, not that it itself is te'eva. Ella, what it means is shelo yubash ish siman hashisha v'yeshev bein hanoshim, means a man is not allowed to put on women's clothing and go sit together with the women, because that is going to lead to yichud or even to outright znus. The isha, simlas ish, v'teshu bein ha'anoshim, or vice versa, a woman is not allowed to wear man's clothes and go sit among men, because in other words, the problem is not so much the dressing a certain way, the problem is the mixing between men and women, which is going to lead to znus. So therefore, the pasuk can say on it, te'evegi, and the braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it doesn't even have to mean mixing together with the opposite gender. It means, for example, Minayin Shalai Tetsa Isha B'Klei Zayim L'Mochama. How do we know, for example, that a woman is not allowed to go out to war wearing weapons, where weapons are usually carried by men? Tamad Lema, Lo Yeh Kli Gever Al Isha. So therefore, the pasuk says, the gear, Kli, can also mean, besides meaning the clothes, can also mean the gear, the equipment of a man should not be on a woman, Lo Yeh Bash Gever Simlas Isha, and a man should not wear a woman's garment. So therefore, Lo Yeh Kli Gever Al Isha means not just that she shouldn't dress like a man, it means that she shouldn't be, for example, wearing the equipment that men wear, such as weapons. The Lo Yubash Geva Simas Isha, and when it says that the man should not wear the dress of a woman, means Shalo Yisakin Ish Tikune Isha, it means that a man should not groom himself in the ways that women do, which would include, for example, makeup, but it would also include, for example, removing the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, as we were just discussing. So we have a braisa that says, so again, we have one braisa that says that Lo Yovash Gever Simlas Isha includes removing hair in those areas. We have another one that says that no, it only means the problem is not the dressing a certain way per se or the grooming a certain way. It's only when a man uses it as that now he's dressed a certain way or groomed a certain way and now he's able to go blend in with the women or vice versa, which is going to lead to znus. And then we have so now Rabbi Yaakov, so now Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that a man is chayiv and is getting malchus daraisa for removing the hair of Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, then he's following one of these braisas that says that in fact he is over on that. Meanwhile, the other Tana is going to hold that removing that hair is not a problem only if a man uses it in order to blend in with women. So again, Tosfos brings further on at the end of the sugya a different girsa from Halachas Gdolos which we already mentioned the beginning of it before that even Rab is only allowing it for Sharei Vodim, even Rab is not allowing Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, and then the Gemara, according to that girsa, the Gemara then goes on to ask that with a braisa that says that removing hair is also only derabanan, and it sounds like it means removing hair of any part of the body. And the answer is even Rab is only allowing the rest of the body with scissors, but not with a razor. And then we'd be going on to say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he gets malchus. And again, Mesvi, according to that, we'd be bringing a braisa again. Havara Seir is only also derabanan. So the bottom line is, it would come out, in other words, that according to that Gersa, then removing Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva would be completely also, and even the rest of the body, it's also only, and even with the rest of the body, it's mutter only with scissors. So, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that in places where only women do that, then it would be also drabanon, even if he uses scissors. But if in places where men do, then you could be somech on the opinions on Rav Shura Goin, who says that it's mutter, and the Ran says it would be mutter even lachatchila. But nevertheless, as we're going to see from the Gemara over here soon, that chaverim, that Talmid Chachamim, still avoid even that, as we're going to see an example soon. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman, v'nozir mutter. Rav Nachman says, when it comes to a nozir, it would be mutter for him to shave his armpits and those areas. However, the Gemara says, v'les hilchsa kabasei, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is not, there's no difference between a nozir and anybody else. Now, why would there be a difference? A nozir, after all, shaves his hair. Why on the face of it would there be a difference between a nozir and anybody else? So one possibility is because, since after all, a nozir is going to end up shaving his hair, so anyway, he's obviously showing that he doesn't mean to make himself look nice. So he's obviously not trying to make himself look nice. Therefore, when he's removing hair from Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva, we can assume also he's not doing it because in order to look nice for personal grooming or whatever, he's just doing it in order to be clean, in order to deal with body odor or whatever. Therefore, it should be mutter. However, the Gemara is saying, but let's say, no, the fact is it's also even for a nazir, because again, you still have the problem of lo yovash gever. Again, if he's doing it for medicinal reasons or something, that's different, but not where he's doing it stam just for comfort. Okay. The Gemara continues. The Chachamim one time asked Rav Shimon bar Abba, so Rav Yochanan is telling us that it is also to remove the hair under the hair in the armpits. But they said, Chazina le Rav Yochanan the Lesley. We saw that Rav Yochanan doesn't have hair under his arms. So Rav Yochanan himself is saying that it's also, but and yet he himself seems to have removed it. Now, so Tosfos says that, now why didn't he just answer them? Well, he removes it with scissors rather than a razor. So that would show, says Tosfos, that even, fine, we might say only with a razor is it also Daraisa, because that would be like Yovashkeber, but nevertheless, apparently even with scissors, it would be also, which is what leads to what we said before from Shulchan Aruch, that in fact, with scissors, it's also Makas Maurus. So how is Rav Yechanan removing it? Omalahoin, so Rav Shimon Ba'aba answers them, Machmas Zikna Noshu. Actually, it's not that he shaved it or removed it at all. He's old, and therefore, he's old, and therefore the hair fell out. The same way as hair falls out on a man's head as he gets older, a lot of times the same way when a person gets old, then sometimes it falls out in other areas of his body as well, including over here in his armpits. In fact, I think there are Mephoshim who learn that even though the context of the Gemara we're talking about over here is shaving the underarms and the base of Erva, but in fact there is a Gemara elsewhere that says that Rav Yochanan didn't have a beard as well. And I think there are explanations that say that the question over here is on that as well. Why is Rav Yochanan not growing his beard? And the answer is the same thing. He's so old that it fell out. You see sometimes really old people whose beard has fallen out. The Gemara continues. Hahuti is chayev negida tamei de Rav Ami. There was a certain person who one time was chayev makas maudus in Rav Ami's beis medrash. So he'd done some kind of avera. In Rav Ami's times, they no longer had malchus d'araisa because they didn't have, only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the lishkas agazis can you do that. But makas maudus still exists. So this year, they'd done some avera that makes him chayev makas maudus. Part of the in order to give him patch, they need to remove his shirt because they're going to whip him on his bare back. Iglai beis hashechi. So as they took off his shirt, his armpit was uncovered. Chazia dele megalach, and Rav Ami saw that the man hadn't shaved his hair over there. Omer lahein Rav Ami. So Rav Ami tells the people in the beis din over there, Shivkuha, leave him alone. Don't give him malchus. Dein min chavrayahu. This one is one of the chaverim, meaning that he's a talmid chacham, and therefore we shouldn't give him malchus. So in fact, one explanation is that Rav Ami is saying essentially that the whole point of makas maudus is that it's up to the discretion of beis din how much to give him. So they're able to decide that in this case, the humiliation that he suffered by being brought to Beis Din and undressed and then even before giving the malchus is enough that as a Talmid Chacham, he's not going to repeat this behavior again, and therefore we don't have to actually give him the malchus. I think the Ordach Mishnah says that. Anyway, from there we see again that even when it is technically mutter, then we see that Talmid Chachamim will avoid that. And that, so actually, you have two different explanations that the Mephoshim have, depending on the two different Gersos that we said before. Is it that it is actually also Daraisa, and therefore the fact that this person didn't do that shows that he's actually following that Din Daraisa, and therefore Ami says that he must be a Talmid Chacham to actually know to fulfill that. Or is it that we're saying that it is in fact only also Derabbanan, but we see that never, or maybe even it is Mutter in some, or that's what it is. Maybe it's also Derabbanan, and then we see that this person is keeping it. Or maybe it is also, maybe it's actually Mutter, but nevertheless, the person is going the extra step and being careful with it, and that leads us to say that he's a Talmid Chacham. So that'll depend on the different Gersos that we said before. The Gemara continues, Boy Mirei Rav Mirabchia. So Rav, in this connection, asks Mirabchia, Mahul Galoyach, is a person allowed to shave these areas of his body with a razor? So according to our Girsa, that would be the question is whether he's allowed to use a razor on the Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva. According to the Girsa of Halachas Gedolos, Rav knew that it's also already with a razor, and he's asking about, can you use scissors on it? Omalei also, so the Pia tells him it's also on the grounds of La Yobash, like we said before. Amalei Rav asks v'hakam gadol, isn't that hair going to continue growing indefinitely, and eventually it's going to cause tsar to the person? So therefore, so it's one thing a person is shaving this hair in order to look nicer or whatever is one thing, but when a person is shaving it because of tsar, for example, because he has a rash, then he should be allowed to. Well, by the same logic, eventually the hair is going to keep on growing. Eventually, it's going to be long enough to be bothersome. So why shouldn't he be allowed to cut it? And why shouldn't he be allowed to cut it in order to avoid that problem? Amalei, so Rapia answers him, Bar Pachsi, son of great men. And he means, because Rav comes, Pachsi is Moshe Pachos, like you have in Megillas Esther, for example, it means honorable, distinguished people. Tamid Chachamim, Rav himself was from a family of Tamid Chachamim, and his family traced their lineage all the way back to David HaMelech. So therefore, there's many places in Shas where Rav Chia calls Rav by that nickname, Bar Pachsi. Anyway, he said, Zman Yeshloi. You should do a gvul yeshloi, Tosfos has a limit. You should know there's a limit to it. Hair doesn't grow indefinitely. Kol zman shu gadol nosher. When it grows long enough, it falls out. So don't think, for example, if a person doesn't shave the hair of Beis HaShechi, it's going to keep on growing and growing, and eventually it's going to be too long. Each individual hair grows for a certain amount of time, and then eventually it stops growing and falls out, and new hair grow, and meanwhile there are other hairs that are there because they're in different stages of their growth, and then new hairs are growing, but you never have that any of it becomes long enough. So unlike, for example, the hair on the head, where if a person grows that out, it can keep on growing and growing almost indefinitely. With the hair on other parts of the body, Rabbia tells Rav, it's not like that. So therefore, no, there's no heter for a person to be shaving it in order to avoid that tsar, because there won't be tsar. It's never going to grow long enough to be a problem. Okay, another question. Bamine Rav Rabbia, mahu lochich. Are you allowed to rub the hair? So in other words, not to cut it off with a razor or scissors, according to the different opinions. But what about to rub against the hair in order that the hair will fall out? So one possibility is we mean rubbing it with one possibility is we mean like scratching it with his fingers. Another would be rubbing it with his clothing. So would that be mutter? He's going to cause the hair to fall out. But he's not doing it with a razor or with scissors, which were the problems that we said before. Now, in fact, even though I'm throughout the sugya over here, we've been talking about the armpits and the private area, Beis HaShechi and Beis HaErva. Here, the Mefarish says that specifically we're talking about with his hand, and he mentions the Beis HaShechi only in the armpit. Now, why not in Beis HaErva? So actually, the Bach brings, because Beis HaErva would be a different problem anyway. A man is not allowed to touch the area of his erva. So therefore, that would be also not only with his bare hand, but even by rubbing it with his clothing. So the Bach actually says, and it's Sorech Iyun, whether in fact that is so, that would be also even with the clothing. The Taz and the Shach discuss it there in Shulchan Aruch, and say that no, the Mefarish mentions Beis HaShechi, but no, he means Beis HaErva as well. He means just one or two of them. Anyway, so would you be allowed to do that? Would you be allowed to scratch it, or to rub it with the hands or with the clothing in order to make the hair fall out? Well, first he asks with his bare hands. Omale Osir, and Rabchia tells him even that would be Osir. With the hands or with the fingernails or whatever. Then Ram asks him the Vigdei Mahu, what about to rub with the clothing? So to rub your clothing from on the outside of against it, so that the hair should fall out. Omale Mutter, so Rabchia tells him that would be Mutter, because that's not a normal way for women to remove it, and therefore that wouldn't be La Yobashkeva. Ikadamri, another version is Bominate. So according to that, then it would come out that it is in fact mutter to do it by rubbing. But only with the clothing, not with the hand. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to rub it. You're not allowed to rub Beis HaShechi, Beis HaErva, by hand to make the hair fall out. But you're allowed to do it by rubbing with your clothing on the outside of it to make the hair fall out. And Gemara says ikadami. Others say that Rav's question was not really was not about removing the hair as far as this whole problem of Layu Mashkever, but rather, according to a second version, Bamine, he asked him a different question, Bitfila of the Big Day Mai. What if a person is in the middle of davening, in particular Shemini Esrei, and during that time he's not allowed to touch the areas of his body that are normally covered? But what about if he feels itchy, and the Big Day Mai, would he be allowed to rub through his clothing or itch through his clothing to scratch himself? Omalei Osir, and according to that, Rabbi Chiya would tell him it's Osir. However, the Gemara says, "Bless Hilch Sakava say the halacha would not. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is if a person is feeling itchy during Shemini Esrei, or for example, in Shulchan Aruch it says if there's a bug biting them or whatever, he's not allowed to go remove it by hand, but he is allowed to rub with his clothing against that part of his skin to get rid of the bug or to soothe the itch or whatever." Because the point is, you have to keep your hands clean doing Shemini Esrei. If he touches his bare skin, then his hands won't be clean, but if he's doing it through the clothing, then it's fine. Okay. So now that finishes that digression as far as shaving as it applies to the Yom HaShkever. Now back to the dinim of a nazir. Now, so the previous Mishnah told us the case where you have two Nazirim, where one of them became Tomei, and we're not sure which one. So we said they bring Korbanos in partnership, and they make a Tanai, Nun Teslam days. And they make a Tanai that says that if I was the one who was Tomei and you were Tahor, then these Korbanos Tumo will be for me, and the Korbanos Tahor will be for you. And if I'm Tomei, then if I'm Tahor and you're Tomei, then the other way around, etc. Now, what happens? Continues the Mishnah. Mes echad mehe. What if one of those two Nazirim died before they had the chance to bring the Korbanos? Now, the problem is that the one surviving Nazir, like this, if there are two Nazirim, then fine, they can pool their money and buy two sets of Korbanos and make these Tnayim. But when there's only one of them, you can't bring all the Korbanos. Because again, you have the problem that the korbanos of a nazir tameh include an osham, the korbanos of a nazir tahor include a chatas, and you can't have a chatas behema, that is chatas oif, you can bring on a suffix, and then fine, the korbanos of a nazir tameh include a chatas oif, that's not such a problem. A chatas oif you can bring for a suffix, but chatas behema you can't, and the korbanos of a nazir tahor include a chatas behema. So what do you do? And you can't just say, for example, that he brings the Korbanos Tahara, because what if in fact he was Tomei?
I'm bringing it myself after the person passed
away. Yeah, because you can't bring Korbanos for a person who passed away. The Gemara elsewhere expresses that with the idea, ein kapara l'mason. There's no kapara for the dead. Yeah. So what does he do? Amr of Yeshua, Yevakish Echad Min Ashuk Sheyidur Kenegdim Nazir. What he should do is find somebody from the street who will be willing to become a Nazir, who will be willing to take on a Neder of Nazirus parallel to him. The Omer, and then he makes a Tanai with that person. Im Tomei Hoyisi, if I was the one who was Tomei, Hare Ata Nazir Miyad, then you will become a Nazir right away. The Imtahar Hayisi, and if I was Tahar, Hareat a Nazir Achat Shloshim Yom, then you will become a Nazir, but only 30 days from now. The Sofrin Shloshim, then they count out the 30 days. Umavian Korban Tumah of Korban Tara, they bring the Korbanos of Tumah and the Korbanos of Tara. As far as the shaving, as we learned previously in the Gemara, it'll depend. If they're women or children, then there's no problem with them shaving both times. If they're men, then that's an issue because you can't shave because of the suffix, and therefore not necessarily are they going to be shaving.
It's not
ma'akel, right. Anyway, the Sofer and Shloshim, they count 30 days, or Mavian Korban Tum of a Korban Tahara, then they continue pretty much as in the previous Mishnah, they bring a Korban for Tumah and a Korban for Tahara, but Omer and the one who was originally the Nazir says to the other one, Imanihu Atomei Korban Tumah Shaliv a Korban Tahara Shachar, if I was the one who was Tomei all this time, then than previously, then the korban tumah is mine, and the korban tara instead will be for yours, and now your nezirus will be over. V'imanihu atar, but if I'm the one who was tahor, korban tara shall leave a korban tumah besafek, then the korban tara will be for me, and the korban tumah. Now, in the previous Mishnah, you had that the korban tumah would be brought for the other person. Here, there's no other person, because he might not have been a nazir in the first place. Therefore, the korban tumah will be brought on a safek. So the oila can, the oila sa'if can be brought on a suffix that it might have been, that could be a nadava. The chaka sa'if, fine, you can bring for a suffix. And as far as the osham, okay, he won't be able to bring the osham. That's not ma'akil. The sofim shloshim yom, then they count another 30 days, which might be the nezirus, and it might be not. Umavian korban tara, then they bring the set of korbanos tara, the omer, and they make a condition. Imani atome, if I'm the one who was previously tome, korban tuma shall leave a korban tara shofar. Then the previous time when we brought the korban tuma was mine, and the korban tara at that point was yours. The zek korban tara, see, and the korbanos that we're bringing now are for my korban tara. And if I'm the one who was Tahar originally, Korban Tara Shalim, the Korban Tumah of a Suffolk, then the Korban Tara at that time was brought was mine, the Korban Tumah then was the Suffolk, the Zero Korban Tara Oscar, and now this will be the Korban for your Tara. So that way we've covered all our bases.
As we know that it's sort of like a joke, because we know this new guy was not. He was never
Tomei, but we know that that's the thing. Rabbi Yeshua is saying there's at least a suffix with him, whether he was a Nazir right away or whether he's a Nazir only 30 days from now. The new guy for sure is a Nazir at some point. The condition is either he's becoming a Nazir now or he's becoming a Nazir 30 days from now. So he's covered by one or the other sets of korbanos tara. As far as the original nazir, he might need a korban tumah. He definitely needs a korban tara. So that's why we end up bringing. Rabbi Yeshua is saying you bring three sets of korbanos, but you're making this tonight. You're telling this new person the korbanos tumah. There's no question. You have no share in those. The korbanos tumah were being brought either for me, or they were unnecessary altogether, which in that case, fine. Of the three korbanos tumah, the oila can be brought anyway, because an oila can come the dava. Chatas, you can bring a chatas oil for a suffix. The osham is not ma'akiv, so therefore we're covered as far as that. As far as the korban tara, the two possibilities, we brought one after 30 days and one after 60 days. One was mine and one was yours. We don't know which one was which.
That's what I'm bringing.
So the chatas from the korban tara, we can definitely bring, because one way or the other, both of them became nazirim. The only question is the first one the nazir for the first 30 days, and the other one was the nazir for the next 30 days, or the other way around? So we have two sets of korbanos tara. Both of them can include chatois, because no problem. We know there were two nazirim over here. We just don't know which one is which.
So
the only tnai we have to make is to say that the korbanos tara should be for me versus for you, or the korbanos tumah should be for me versus a suffix. So unlike in the previous Mishnah, where each one of them, in the case of the previous Mishnah, we can bring all the korbanos, because one of them was Tomei, one of them was Tahar, we just don't know which one was which. Here, you can't bring the Osham for the korbanos tumah, because an Osham you can't bring for a suffix, but you can bring all the other korbanos, and you can still make the similar kind of tnai.
This guy is not going to shave in between.
So he's not going to shave for that entire 60 days, right? Well, he'll shave at the end of 30 days, one way or the other, because either his nazirus is over or his nazirus hasn't started yet. So at the end of 30 days, that new guy can shave, but not during the whole first 30 days and not during the whole second 30 days. Right. Actually, as far as the shaving the first time, again, that's what we were just saying. If he's a man, he may not be able to, because after all, then he'd be shaving his payas, and we have the whole problem that we were discussing in the previous block. Only if he's a woman or a child would he be able to do that. Okay. So anyway, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says.
But he was also saying that you're not supposed to be nazir for no reason. It's sort of punishment.
Yeah, but here it's but here he's doing it because, well, so fine. But here he's doing it in order to help out another kid, so that's different. But Omaloy ben Zoyma, but Ben Zoyma says to Rabbi Yeshua, "Umi shemei aloy sheyidu keneged a nazir." Fine, I agree that that would work, but realistically, who's going to listen to him and accept Nizirus on that? Especially Nizirus like that. Especially, it's one thing a person might take on Nizirus, but in this case, Suffolk, where he's not even sure that he's not even sure whether the first 30 days is even being Mekayim the mitzvahs of another, and he's avoiding shaving and what wine and so forth for no particular reason. So Rabbi Yeshua, your idea has merit, but realistically, where are you going to find such a person? Ella, so rather, Ben Zayma says, I'll find a different way to do it. Maybe Chatas Sa'ov for Olas Behema, the one Nazir, forget about finding another Nazir to join him. The one Nazir who survived after the other one died, after the Suffolk, he brings a Chatas Sa'ov and the Ola of an animal, because, now we learned before, that even though in both cases, with Tuma and with Tara, in both cases you have three Korbanos, but we said not all three of them are Ma'akir. You can shave in the case of a Nazir Tomei, you can shave and restart his Nazirus, and in the case of a Nazir Tomei, you can shave and finish his Nazirus, even if he brings only one of the Korbanos. We did learn before that he has to be more careful, because if that Korban turns out to be possible, then he has problems, but we learned before, for example, let's say the Korban was shechted, Shalai Lashma, or something happened, whatever, then he's going to have problems. It's going to be considered that he shaved during his Nizirus. But after all, he is able to shave and bring only one of the Korbanos, and right now not worry about the others. So therefore, he starts off by bringing one of the Korbanos for the Korban, for the Truma, namely the Chatas Ha'if. He also brings one of the ones for the Korban Tara, which would be the Olas Behema. So both of those he's able to bring even because of the Suffolk. He would, in principle, actually, he would even be able to bring the Olas Ha'oif as well. Because again, a Nazir Tomei has three Korbanos, an Olas Ha'oif, a Chatas Ha'oif, and an Oshem. The Oshem he can't bring, fine, because it's a Suffolk. Why are we saying over here? Why is Ben Zoma mentioning specifically the Olas Ha'oif, the Chatas Ha'oif, and not the Olas Ha'oif? There was a long Tosfos a few block earlier that dealt with all the ins and outs of this case. And the answer, so they answered, in fact, that maybe, in fact, because it's only a Suffolk, we're only going to make him bring one of them. He wants to bring two of them. He wants to bring both birds. There's not the hate, but we're only going to require him to bring one of them. And then there are different other points. Marsha elsewhere explains that since the Ola Sa'oif is not really coming for a kapara, and it's not really coming to allow him to restart his Nazirus, the Ola is really just a dura, and like we learned earlier in the Masechta, it's present to Hashem, so therefore we're not going to bring it for a Suffolk. Anyway, Ben Zoma says, so he brings a Korban Tuma and he brings one of the Korbanos Tuma and one of the Korbanos Tara, but Omer, and he says like this, Im Tomei Hodisi, if I was Tomei, Hachatas Mechelvasi, then the Chatas Ha'oif will be part of my obligation as a Nazir Tomei, but Ha'ola Nadava, and the Ola that I'm bringing now, the Ola Spehema, will be a Nadava, because fine, you can bring an Ola anytime you want. The im tahor, you see, if I was tahor and there was no need for korbanos tara, then ha'ola harishonin nedava, then the ha'ola is part of my obligation. Ba'chatas misafik, and the chatas I'm bringing from a safik, but fine, a chatas ha'oif you can bring on a safik, and therefore there's no problem with that. The sofer shloshim b'im, then he counts out another 30 days. Or maybe Korban Tara. At the end of the 30 days, he brings a Korban Tara, the regular Korbanos of a Nazir Tara. Va'omer, and he says, "Im Tomei Ha'yisi, if I was Tomei the first time around, Ha'ola Harishon in Nadava, then the original Ola that I brought was only in Nadava. The zoo and the new Ola that I'm bringing now, Choiva, is part of my obligation for my Korbanos." The im tahor ha'yisi, if I was tahor to begin with, ha'ola harishona choiva, then that first ola was my obligation, because that was what I brought at the end of my 30 days of Nazirus. The zu nadava, and the new ola that I'm bringing now is only a nadava. The zu shar korbani, and here, these other two animals are the rest of my, chiyuv, the shlomim and the chatas. So that way, you can do it that way without needing somebody else. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says to Ben Zoma, it's a nice idea, but nimtza zeh may be korbanos of chatzoyim, but it comes out therefore that the person is bringing his korbanos piecemeal like this, because we're saying if he was tohor all along, then you're saying he's bringing one of his korbanos one time and the rest of them a month later. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to just bring your korbanos. You're not supposed to the diyeved. Fine, maybe you can bring your korbanos at different times for the hatzilah. You're supposed to bring them all together.
Just the diyeved has no choice.
But yeah, but still, Rabbi Yeshua says my method at least avoids all of that, because then you are bringing a full set of korbanos each time. However, the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, Abel Hodu, like Chachamim, Ben Zoma, the rest of the Chachamim that were agreed with Ben Zoma, okay, so bring Korbanos of Hatzoyim, there's really no choice, because realistically, you're not going to find somebody else to join him. Okay, so the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Yeshua's question, what is the question? The license. So what if he brings this Korbanos piecemeal? Where do we ever find that that's a problem? And the answer is, Amar of Yehuda Amishmol, Loi Amar of Yeshua, you're right. Rabbi Yeshua only said this, this that he said to begin with, that he should find somebody else to join him, because in order to avoid bringing his korbanos piecemeal, he only said that lechadet varsa tamidim, only to sharpen the tamidim, meaning to see are any of the tamidim going to realize to point out what Ben Zoma pointed out, that we have an alternative way of doing it. So what is it exactly that Rabbi Yeshua said, Machadid Barasa Tamidim? So the Mefarish says that this that he said, Nimtzaz and maybe Kobanos of Lahatsoyim, is the point. He knew that statement against Ben Zoma is not really a valid thing, because so what? You bring them piecemeal. He's saying, Machadid Barasa Tamidim, so that they should be able to, and the Mefarish goes on to say, they should make a Kabachoyma for themselves. Madoch, even Rabbi Yeshua, or Rebbe, who knows that what he's saying is not really a valid argument, but he's arguing it anyway, and this way we have what to discuss, how much more so we Talmidim that we should discuss things and then question what our Rebbe is saying and discuss it, even if we know that it's not really a well-founded question, even if the other Talmidim are going to laugh at me for bringing up such a silly question. Nevertheless, we should, because that way you ask whatever you need to, and that way the thing gets clarified. And then the Mefarish goes on to bring a Gemara in Nida that says just that. It gives an example over there where a Papa made a certain statement and the other Chachamim laughed at him. And Rava, who was Rapapa's Rebbe, says even so, what Rapapa did is good because it helps clarify and sharpen everybody's thought processes. So according to the Mefarish then, Rabbi Yeshua still sticks with his opinion that the better thing would be to find somebody else. If you can't find somebody else, then fine. I agree that Ben Zoma's method works. On the other hand, the Rosh spells out that what we mean is that when we say lechadet barasa tamidim, that really actually he agrees with Ben Zoma that we should use Ben Zoma's method. The whole idea that he mentioned of finding somebody minashuk and so on and so forth, that he said lechadet barasa tamidim, to see whether any of the tamidim are going to think, do you know what? One second, is that really going to work? Can't we find another way to do it and end up figuring out Ben Zoma's method? So according to that, then, it would mean that Rabbi Yeshua himself never held that really you should be finding somebody else in Ashok and so forth. He only said that in order to see what the Talmidim, whether the Talmidim will be able to find a way to refute it. So the Gemara continues. Omer Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman also makes a statement about what Rabbi Yeshua says, and what he actually means with the statement is a little bit mysterious, as we'll learn. So Omer Rav Nachman, my levin le Rabbi Yeshua ledate deloy lisu. What would Rabbi Yeshua do with date that they shouldn't lisu? So what does that mean? So Tosfos starts by saying that it wasn't really well explained by our Rebbeim to understand what to explain what Rav Nachman really means. So what it means is like this. Tosfos says Rav Yeshua is Rav Nachman is saying you have to think about it. The word dake means the intestines of the animal, and specifically the fat on the animal. Lisru means to spoil. Meaning, in other words, what's going to happen? According to Rabbi Yeshua's original idea, which is that you have to find somebody else to become a nazir and so on and so forth. So what are we saying now? The problem is that part of the process of the nazir is that after the shlomim in particular has been brought, you have to take the chaz of the shoyk and the chaylev of it and whatever and wave them. And in the case of you also take the front leg of the animal, the zroya b'sheila we learned before, and you take one of the loaves, one of each of the two loaves of bread, and you wave them all. The owner and the kohen wave them together, and then they're given, and then the fat is offered on the mizbeach, and the rest is given to the kohen. So now, what happens is at the end. This is the shlomim we're talking about. Yeah, the eil nazir. What?
And the shlomim and the balabas also get something of it.
The balabas gets, yeah, it's a shlomim. The balabas gets most of it. Yeah, the usual rule, the shlomim. Really? Yeah. So now the problem is then, Reb Nachman is pointing out, if you follow Reb Yeshua's idea about the two nazirim, the problem is both of them are going to have to wave the chaz of the shoyk and the chaylev and so on and so forth. So what's going to happen? Meanwhile, it means you're going to have to leave that chaylev. And after all, both of them are shaving. One, you know, they're shaving they're both shaving only at the end of 60 days. Because you don't know which one was the nazir tahor, which one became a nazir originally, which one became a nazir only now. So what's going to happen? Meanwhile, during that all that time, the fat is going to spoil by the time you have the ability to do both those shavings. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says it's one thing when you have two nazirim, the beginning of the perek where they're both tamim mesafek. Fine, there's really no alternative. But over here, since you can use Ben Zoyma's method rather than using another nazirus, Reb Nachman is saying, why did Reb Yeshua even bring up the idea of having somebody else join in the nazirus where that's causing the offering of the fat to be delayed? Instead, wouldn't it be much better? Shouldn't Rabbi Yeshua have realized to begin with that to begin with, he shouldn't even be mentioning this idea of Yido Kenegoy. He should have to begin with realized that Ben Zoyma's method is the only valid method, because otherwise you're going to have to leave the fat for longer and it's going to spoil. But
if he finds this guy before brings the kabbalas,
no? No, but the point is, in other words, that Tosfos says that we're not really talking about the delay of 30 days. We're rather talking about the delay of that we're talking about rather the delay of that both of them have to shave. It takes time to shave. So meanwhile, you're leaving the fat around for longer, and therefore it's going to spoil. So according to Tosfos, then it comes out that Reb Nachman is saying that it sounds that like Tosfos agrees that the lachadet baris haTamidim is more like the Mefarish said, that the only this last point that Rabbi Yeshua had said that you can't bring the korbanos haChatzoyin, only that was lachadet baris haTamidim, but the original idea that he had said you need two nazirim is actually his actual opinion. He hadn't changed his mind on that. And so the question is, Rabbi Nachman is saying, how could Rabbi Yeshua even say that in the first place? Doesn't he realize you have this problem of the b'chelev is going to be left around too long to spoil? On the other hand, the Rosh, who learns that even Rabbi Yeshua's original statement about the two nazirim was only l'chadet baris haTamidim, so he says, I don't understand. Then in that case, then what is it? Then what's Rabbi Nachman's point? We already said that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't really hold this way, and he said it only l'chadet baris haTamidim. So there are in fact there are in fact different other explanations among Rishonim of what exactly Reb Nachman means by that statement. And there is in fact an explanation that the Rashash gives an explanation that Reb Yeshua is saying that. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that dako, that ledake means it does mean the intestines, but not the intestines of the korban, but rather the intestines of the person. In effect, Rabbi Nachman is saying almost like a milsa de bdicha, so he's saying like a derech tzachos on Rabbi Yeshua. You're telling me you need somebody to accept nazirus because of suffering. But what's going to happen? That poor guy, if he needs wine for the next 30 days because he has a stomachache, now he's going to be usher for that entire time where it might not even be that he's usher, and you're preventing him from doing that.
I guess the wine was
So yeah, well, certain kinds of wine. We learned in Nedarim, for example, we said that you could have a case where a person makes a neder not to drink wine because it's bad for your stomach, and they tell him you should know old wine is good for your stomach, and he says, you know, if I'd realized that, I wouldn't have made the neder. And we talk about neder shehuta mitzasir huta kulay, and that whole subject to here. In other words, Rabbi Nachman is saying like dreis veritol against Rabbi Yeshua, saying that aside from the fact that Zoma is pointing out that realistically you're not going to find a person who's going to accept his nedarim misafik on that, but poor guy. He may end up that during those next 30 or 60 days, he's going to wind up. He may have a stomach ache. He may want to soothe it with some good old wine, and now he can't because he got himself into this. So that would be another argument against Rabbi Yeshua's method. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.